Aren't you glad you didn't have to read that gospel? I must admit I burst out laughing in the middle of it at 8 o'clock. As many of you know, I am actually divorced. So at coffee, someone said to me, "Did you get a certificate? That's all that really matters." It's really important for us to remember that things are written in their context and their time. And so we must remember that this was too written in the days when Jesus was changing the law from the old way to the new way. And so there is a lot more in that than I am even willing to unpack this morning. I think the most important line in the whole gospel, though, is the last one. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. To be clear about what we believe, what we mean, what we say, and have our actions follow up with that is probably much more important than certificates of divorce or adultery or all those other things put together. Sometimes the readings are perfect for your occasion, and sometimes they're like that one. However, all of the Anglican churches, of course, in our diocese are about to have their annual vestry meeting, their meeting like we're having today at noon, where decisions will be made and reports will be received and people will be commissioned to go and do ministries in the next year. And as my colleagues were saying, yours is awfully early. I said, yes, we have to do that for some other extenuating circumstances. But you get a great reading. And I'm thinking, I do? This is terrible. And then I realized they were talking about Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. We have choices to make. And in Deuteronomy, Moses, this is his third major speech. And he is saying to people, God is saying that you have a choice. It's time to make a choice. Today's the decision day, and the choices are limited. The choice is between life and death, prosperity and adversity. Now, that doesn't seem very difficult, does it? How many people here would like to have adversity and death? Exactly. Now, some of us sometimes live like that would be our choice. We do. We don't take care of ourselves. We whine, we complain, we don't have helpful suggestions. It's poor me all the time. We all do that from time to time. And we all know some people who do that most of the time. But that is different than living a life of living, choosing life and having prosperity. We all actually choose life every day as well, because you've eaten breakfast, you're dressed, you're here, you're up, you have a job, you are happily retired, you have relationships. All of these things require choice. If we did nothing at all, we would very soon dwindle away to nothing. So it may seem like an easy choice, but it's actually a choice that takes many little choices every single day to make sure that we have life. Life can just be life. It can be mere existence. We all also know people who have a mere existence, people who just struggle. They barely make it. Maybe not much joy, but they have also some life to them, but they're just coping. I've been there. You've probably been there too. And so what is the difference between that and choosing life? About actually enthusiastically wanting to live? Because we all have a survival instinct, but it's much more than that. What does it take to choose life? Not just as individuals, but as communities. Well, the readings are actually quite helpful. Deuteronomy does go on to help us about what does it take to choose it, not just to let it happen. First, it involves loving God, first and foremost. Loving that which created us, loving that which sustains us, loving that which carries on long after we are no longer on this earth. Loving God is not just about a nice feeling, about that rush of first blush of romance. Loving God is hard work. Loving God takes intentionality. And Moses is reminding the people that to love means to actually choose it. You shall love the living God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's familiar words to us. And love takes all of it, our mind, our heart, our soul, our bodies. It takes a choice. It's not an intellectual experience. It's not just an emotional experience. It's being committed. It's being absolutely committed beyond the easy part. The second thing about choosing life is to walk in the way of God and listen for the voice of God. There are lots of images that we hear about discipleship, about how we should be in that way. But to actually listen, deep listening. We've been doing a lot of that in the parish in this past year, listening for the voice of God. Where are we meant to go? What are we supposed to do? There's been intentional time spent this fall listening, and there are many words to be heard, many feelings, much love, much enthusiasm. But to listen not just for our own individual voices, whenever I want something or you want something, to listen as a community takes a great deal of respect and of holding things gently. And I believe that we have done that this fall. And it means not just to listen, but to respond, to act out of that listening, to actually do something with it, to choose life, to choose a path. It means to be creative with that path, to be creative where we are, right here, right now, and to do what we can do to make our life and that of others better. And the third thing involved in choosing life means to keep God's commandments and to cling to God. This reminds us that we always need something bigger than us. All the commands that we hear today, it doesn't matter which reading you read, there's many commands, they seem burdensome or irrelevant or impossible even. And the how could we possibly do them all? The answer is we can't. We can't. We're human. And so therefore we need to remember that we need to cling to God and to hold on to that rock, to respond to God's initiative in our lives, and to recognize that because I can't keep them and you can't keep them and neither can the person outside that you meet at the grocery store later, it means that we must have compassion. Compassion for each other, compassion for our world, compassion for our community. Because that's the only way we can actually try and choose life and live out those commands. Now, choosing life, as I said at the beginning, is not easy. I'm sure that every one of you has done something in your life that you chose to do it, and then you thought, what on earth have I done? Because when we choose something, we make a clear path, but we can't possibly know what that's going to mean. We actually can only know a very small fraction of the data, of the information, of anything when we make a choice. I remember when I finished my bachelor's degree, and I was young, I guess I was about 20 or something ridiculous like that, and I decided that I was going to go on an adventure. And so I took the train across Canada and went to Calgary. I had some cousins there, some relatives, but I had no idea how long I was going to be there, where I was going to live, or how I was going to possibly make any money. I knew none of those things. Now I knew I could stay with my cousins for a while. I knew that it was fall and hopefully I'd get a job at a ski hill. I wish. And, you know, probably this would lead me to some path down in my life. But I didn't know those things. I had a lot of information, but not all of it. And so I found myself arriving, staying at my cousin's, which was wonderful. They were very hospitable, very caring, but they weren't making my choices for me. And going out to Banff and getting a job, very exciting, chambermaid at the Banff Springs Hotel. They showed me the housing, and I thought, I'm supposed to live in this? With 16 other 20-year-olds? I don't know, I can do that. They gave me my cute little uniform, and not so good on a 5'10" person. And off I went to be a chambermaid. I actually enjoy cleaning. 3 hours is how long I lasted. 3 hours. I realized this was not my calling. It had nothing to do with cleaning. It had everything to do with the environment in which I was working. It had everything to do with the team, that there wasn't one, that I was alone, that I wasn't making enough money to bear it, and I just knew it wasn't for me. So now when I look back on all of that, I ended up with a great job. I was doing all sorts of interesting things for a couple of years. I had a place to live, I made new friends, and from there I went on to study to become a priest. When I look back now, it was a great adventure. It was a choice. Like, I made a choice. It was great. People actually said to me at the time, "You're so brave," and I was so friggin' scared. But I made a choice. And there were people who loved me, there were people who supported me, and there was a God that I could cling to. That's what got me through it. Not knowing everything before I got to the end. So today, we have some choices to make at our vestry meeting. Some exciting choices. Some things that hopefully will bring us to new life and bring this parish onwards and upwards and help the community around us as well. But we must remember that our yes must be yes and our no must be no. And that we have choices, and we don't even know what they all are, between life and prosperity and death and adversity. But no matter what, we must go through that loving God, being committed, being creative in how we manage that, and having compassion always in our hearts. If we do those things, well then indeed, we will choose life together. Amen.